Asurya nama te loka andhina tamasavra tam se pritya bhigacchanti ye ke chatma hamana. The killer of the soul, whoever he meet, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of misignorance. And this is just a little over 2 pages long. A human life is distinguished from animal life due to its heavy responsibilities. Those who are cognizant of these responsibilities and who work in that spirit are called suras, godly persons. And those who are neglectful of these responsibilities or have no information of them are called asuras, demons. These two types of human beings are found all over the universe. In the Rig Veda it is stated the suras always aim at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu and act accordingly. Their ways are as illuminated as the path of the sun. Intelligent human beings always remember that this particular bodily form, always remember that this particular bodily form is obtained after an evolution of many millions of years and after long transmigration. This material world is sometimes compared to an ocean. This human body is compared to a solid boat designed especially to cross this ocean. The Vedic scriptures and the acharyas, or saintly teachers, are compared to expert boatmen. And the abilities of the human body are compared to favorable breezes, which help the boat fly smoothly to desired destination. With all of these facilities, a person does not fully utilize his life of realization. He must be considered Atmaha, a killer of the soul. Sri Shukadev gives warning clear terms that the killer of the soul is going to enter into the darkest region of ignorance to suffer perpetually. Who can explain that? Asurya namate loka andhina tamasavrita.
Darkness is that you will go into the,
lower planets.
Not in the lower planets, but in the form of little animals. That's also from the darkness because they have the vision of the one going to God. That's what I'm saying.
Any questions answered?
No. I don't have any questions.
Well, let's see them one at a time. Want to explain it quick?
I don't get it, Maharaj.
Sri Ishopanishad gives meaning in clear terms that the killer of the soul is destined to enter into this region of ignorance to suffer perpetually.
Killer of the soul?
Huh?
Killer of the soul?
Atmaha. The killer of the soul.
It's the lowest place in the planet.
How can one kill his soul if the soul is immortal?
And how can one stay in the darkest region of ignorance with him?
That is possible by having the birth in the form of lower animals.
But what happens when those souls take birth in the form of animals? After that lower animal form, then what?
That is only darkness because they...
No, but after that life...
Yeah. Well, they may come up to the level of human beings.
Okay, so how is it... My question is... Why is this word perpetually used?
Well, that is a meaning, but first thing is the killer of the soul. How can one kill the soul?
No, my question was first. I'll answer your question if you can answer my question.
What? I don't know how to answer.
Okay.
Perpetually, well, actually, maybe because it is millions of years.
Thank you. Now, as killer of the soul was concerned, can't kill the soul. Just listen.
Yeah. Alright.
Where are you? Is this?
I'm not.
Okay. It's already plain. The term Atmaha refers to If all these facilities are present, a person does not fully utilize his life of civilization. He must be considered killer of the soul, Atmaha. In other words, figure of speech. Okay. Now your question.
Saying
that the Vedic scriptures and the Charis ascended scriptures are compared to Esther Thornton and the facilities and the human body as compared to the fables which have developed by sleep. Right. The wisdom and the facilities and the human body. Yeah. Develop intelligence. And, in other words, the senses, senses for working senses and senses for acquiring knowledge. So they're also more developed. Based on developed consciousness. Just like tape recorders and printing presses and with developed consciousness and developed senses, then there's still further facility for immersing oneself in the message. Senses that are the process of deity worship. It's real difficult for a monkey to do well. For the facility to fix consciousness too, and to understand the philosophy message and also to chant. For the form to practice devotional service. Can you remember that specific reference from Bhagavad Gita? Cast again in demoniac species. And again. Same way. Because of their gross misuse of free will, they get what they want. They get their position. And again, in demoniac species, but again, gradually, come through the evolutionary process to higher species. Ready?
Yeah. Goats.
I never heard that one before. What makes you say that? You're not speculating, are you? Oh, ghosts, you say. Ghosts. No, different. They don't have bodies. Ghost body. They have no ghost bodies. You can't be cast into the body of the ghost. You understand? Cast into a body, into whatever the process of reproduction is, cast into that, the womb of the mother, or whatever the process and species of life, and thus getting a body. But ghosts have no gross bodies. There's certain demoniacs.
Huh?
Lower planets. Lower planets, because they're suffering like anything. They're suffering many times over. Because they have no means to fulfill their desire. They have all the desire of the embodied being, and they have no way to act on it. Imagine. can't even do anything to try to get out of the position. Therefore, they're just tormented all the time. That's where the idea of haunting comes. If they're so much tormented, then they want to fetch others to relieve their torment. Or capture others and control them by their body. Depends on their previous activities. It's like if you lose a limb in accident, does it mean that you're, or how can you say from that that you're going to have an animal body or whatever the next body is going to be in the next life? You can't say, because you lost a limb. So you lost both limbs, both arms, and both legs. You lost all your ghost bodies. And just had the subtle body remain. How can you say that your next body is going to be an animal? Can't say. But while that duration is going on, that they don't have a physical body, then their karma is the same. Their what desire would normally be affecting them. To the natural duration of the rest of their life, what it would have been like, that's still affecting them. But they can't do anything about it. Just torture. And at least if you put in a straitjacket, try to move around and get free from the straitjacket, but they can't even do it. They can't speak. Horrible, think about it. Horrible. Very frightful even.
So why do they scare some guru?
Because they're very scary.
They're scary.
Bump into one in the dark hall sometime and you'll find out.
Do they have a material form?
No. Subtle material.
What is subtle?
Not gross.
What is it?
Not like this.
Oh.
Subtle. Mind, intelligence, and ego.
That's all. And if you bump into one.
You won't.
Or you won't.
I mean, that's a figure of speech, bump into one.
Yeah.
They can be seen.
Yeah. You ever saw one?
Huh?
You ever saw one?
Once.
Was there?
Oh, I just chanted.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't back off.
I just chanted, what's the back on?
Oh. Imagine, so we will see one in the back off. You know?
Alright, now we'll get serious. What's your question? There's different information. Some information is that for the natural condition of life. Some information is for a long time. So, this thing of haunted houses, at a certain point they become unhaunted. Because subtle bodies, those creatures, can take another, arrangement is made for them to have a body finally. But there's so much disturbed condition that they will inhabit practically any object. Like the story that we heard in the life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, that there's a ghost inhabiting a tree. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranged for someone to recite, a Brahmin, to recite Bhagavatam underneath the tree. And then at the conclusion of Bhagavatam, the tree cracked all over, and the ghost had to leave. The prophet said that a ghost will inhabit all kinds of, like a little doll that a baby has, clutching the ghost, so babies can become adults, just affected the ghost, or a store mannequin. Because there's a form that then they try to act through, because there's so much craving to have a body to act with. Or just some, you know, just some lone object. But they cannot, of course, but as soon as chanting is there, as soon as Krishna is present in the form of book, or in the form of sound, or in the form of his physical form, just like if they can't, so that you carve some statue and they can inhabit that statue, but not the deity. So if you ever bump into one, then Hare Krishna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure. But as it's described by the Gita, the demons flee here and there. If they become attracted, and the demons flee here and there at the sound of the holy name. So they take off. Sure. Because it's the chanting of that soul. Even their mentality may be they want to write. They still hurt, and they still benefit. That's the way of devotional service. It's all auspicious.
But isn't it about the, what he asked about the age of the ghost?
What about that?
About the age, how long do
they age.
Yeah.
You have any other information?
Doesn't that, I'm just want to know, doesn't that depend upon the amount of time they have to suffer?
Yeah.
Their body, and after they finish it, then they get another body.
Right. That depends on the circumstances of how they came to be ghosts. I mean, there are material laws and there's also higher law.
I have an example of ghost doesn't come near the Krishna or picture or anything if you like to listen to it.
Okay, good.
There was one Muslim girl, she used to call, she had some power. She came to our place when I wasn't in Vrindavan. So she was showing that to my sisters and my mother, calling the ghost there, and the ghost was supposed to come in a coin, and they used to write Urdu words on the paper and put the coin on it and just touch it like this. The ghost used to come there and drag the coin to the ghost. And whatever you ask, the coin gives the answer, goes by itself, ghost takes it. So one day, they wanted to show it to me, sooner landed, I just had a briefcase, so they took a paper like this, Radharasi Hari Tambu, they posted. So, they tried to, they wrote on it, and they wanted to show it. No. So she called the ghost, he came. He called the other time, he never came. She was very afraid that she lost the power. She was thinking that she lost it. Then third time, fourth time, the coin, the ghost came, but the coin went to no. They have now as no and all this. The ghost refused to come. I want to come.
Yeah,
then she checked what the table was. Yeah, this is the temple. Radharasi Hari from Bombay. He said, no,
Hare
cannot come here.
there are swine, dogs, camels, asses, etc., whose economic necessities are just as important as ours. But the economic problems of these animals are only solved under nasty and unpleasant conditions. Here's part of your answer. The human being is given all facilities for a comfortable life, laws of nature, because human form of life is more important and valuable than human life, than animal life. Why does man have a better life than the swine and other animals? Why is he a highest servant, given all facilities rather than an ordinary clerk? He knows that a highly placed officer has to discharge duties of a higher nature. A human being has higher duties to perform than animals, always engaged in simply feeding their hungry stomachs. Yet modern soul-killing civilization has only increased the problems of a hungry stomach. So here's the soul-killing. Modern soul-killing civilization has increased the problems of a hungry stomach. When we approach a polished animal in the form of modern-sized man and ask him what his business, he will say that he simply wants to work to satisfy his life and that there is no need for self-realization. The laws of nature are so cruel, however, despite his eagerness to work hard for his stomach, he is always threatened by the question of unemployment. We are given the human form of life not to work hard like asses and so on, but to attain the highest perfection of life. If we do not care for self-realization, the laws of nature put us to work very hard, even though we may not want to so. Human beings in this age have forced to work hard like asses and bulls at full cost. Some of the regions where the asuras are sent to work are revealed in this verse of Sri Upanishad. If a man fails to discharge his duties as a human being, he is forced to transmigrate to the Surya planets and take birth in degraded species of life to work hard in ignorance and darkness. In Bhagavad Gita 6:41-43, it is stated that a man who enters upon the path of self-realization but does not complete the process, despite having sincerely tried for it, given a chance to appear in a family of Shuchi or Shri. The word Shuchi indicates spiritually advanced Brahmana, and Srimat indicates Asha, a member of the mercantile community. This indicates that the person who fails to realize his relation with God is given a better chance to cultivate self-realization due to his severe efforts in his previous lives. If even a fallen candidate is given a chance to take birth in a respectable and noble family, one can hardly imagine the status of one who has achieved success. By simply attempting to realize God, one has achieved birth in a wealthy or aristocratic family. However, one who does not even make an attempt, who wants to recover delusion, who is too materialistic and attacks material enjoyment, must enter into the darkest regions of hell, as confirmed in all Vedic literatures. Such materialistic asuras sometimes make no religion, but their ultimate aim is material prosperity. Bhagavad Gita 16, chapter, text 17-18, rebukes such men, for they are considered great only on the strength of deception, and are empowered by the votes of drink and by their own material wealth. Such asuras, devoid of self-realization and knowledge of Ishavasya, the Lord, are certain to enter into the darkest regions. The conclusion is that as human beings we are not meant for simply solving economic problems on a tottering platform, but for solving all the problems of material life into which we have been placed by the laws of nature. Does anyone have problems with reading it? Can you see if there's one? Is it not? Up on the top. Review this chapter ahead. Killer of the soul, whoever he must ready, he must enter the planets known as the worlds of the faithful. This description kind of makes it very clear about the facilities of the human form of life. Because this, I think this is the verse 59 Srimad Bhagavatam, Yoga Vrishta Vijaya Tej. In a position of, it's easy to stand the position after not fully completing spiritual practices to take birth in dominant family. Actually, it's one goes to the heavenly planets, the long duration of enjoyment and then there for this suci, the family of brahmanas, or also vaishyas. That indicates Vaishya, but Srimad also indicates the position of the very wealthy Brahmin. Read chapter 6, text 41 through 43. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on lands of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of aristocracy. Suchinam Srimatkehe Yoga Vrishta Vijayate. Or, if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists, who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly, such a birth rare in this world. Rare, anyways, because amongst all the elevated personnel, transcendentalists are there. To take birth in such a family, just a miracle, it's rare. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success of Sanat Kuru. On taking this birth, his spiritual consciousness revives from his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete the finishing business. So here's the Prabhupada makes the statement, however, one who does not even make an attempt, who wants to be covered by illusion, is too materialistic and attached to material enjoyment, has entered the darkest regions of hell. So it's just even wanting to make spiritual progress. That's a very valuable thing. We find so many times people who come forward who want to make spiritual progress. At the same time, they very much want their material position also, so spiritual life is very difficult for them. And they, that such a person, creates evidence. like within ashram life. And yet they can never, just like the verse that we discussed last night in the village, Bogari Pasakhtanam, their resolute determination for devotional service just doesn't take place. They never have to resolve. Therefore, they never really progress. That's a very unfortunate situation. At least there's some effort and trying. And then again, whatever devotional service they by chance to render, that's slowly building a credit for them. But they don't even try at all, then to the house plant. They're not even doing a form of life, and not even trying. And just how many people that means. How many people at the printing press that you were working at are trying to spiritually perfect their life?
Not too much.
Or how many people at the college that you attended to are trying to spiritually perfect their life? Or how many people at your office are trying to spiritually perfect their life? How many people when you go out and sanctify meet people to take a book and try to put a life? And this is their destination.
Probably calls it a slaughterhouse civilization or also soul killing civilization. Yet modern soul killing civilization has only increased the problem that in the life. Feeding the hungry stomach.
Any discussion?
So, because people try to attempt to our strength and they still have desires for material things, how can they really avoid all these desires for material things and achieve their goal?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare
Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Yeah. What if they still chant? They still do.
Well, they have to then try to improve the quality of the chanting.
How do you improve the quality?
Of the 10 offenses.
The 10 offenses.
And the whole process of sadhana bhakti. Very carefully, just as we were reading in Nectar Devotion, which you missed because of doing something else. The practices that are recommended on the description that we read said to cure them of their madness. Why is it like Prabhupada is saying here, if someone has something that is simply going to increase their misery and suffering, what is that? That's crazy. That's madness. I'm going to drink this poison because it will kill me. That's madness. I'm going to drink this beverage knowing I'll just become, my life will become completely distressed and fraught with misery.
Madness.
So
how do you overcome this?
They're doing it all the time.
How do you overcome
that in the bhakti?
Why?
By hearing very clearly the words of the scripture and the words of spiritual wisdom and putting into practice those things, if only because it's being ordered or guided, just like a physician. You go to a physician, doctor, and here's your medicine, take it 3 times daily and don't eat this and eat that. You do it because you want to get well. And the physician has given that recommendation. That
in other words, when imagination is put into practice, it becomes habit.
When spiritual instructions are put into place, then they become realized. Spiritual life is restored and material life is put at rest. So the initial part is just all these things apply them. The more carefully that you apply them, because this is also one of the qualities, you should have come to the Nectar Devotion class.
I should.
You should.
I should. Oh.
The first quality described there is it relieves one of material distress immediately.
know actually.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. And all the rest of the spiritual program in the morning that you might sometimes miss or usually miss. That will help. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.